Across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world on the internet by webcast and by podcast, my name is Howard Hughes and this is The Unexplained. I hope life is being good to you as we get into autumn, fall, here in the Northern Hemisphere, of course down in the Southern Hemisphere, thanks to people like Ali in Australia who sent me a photograph of the foliage and plant life outside her window. Things are beginning to change. It's like springtime, isn't it, in the south. You're looking ahead to the summer. We're looking ahead to the winter here. It's half of the excitement of being on this earth. Won't it be great when we're allowed to travel again? You know, I have this great... God knows how I'm going to do it, how I'd ever get the money, but I'd like to see Australia again before I turn up my toes. I went there... How many times did I go there? 3 times, I think, for the Chris Tarrant show... From Capital Radio in London, we did the show from different parts of Australia. We went to Hayman Island. We did the show from Sydney. We did the show from a Sydney ferry for a week. Can you believe that? And we did the show from Perth and Rottnest Island, just off Perth. I'm sure I've mentioned this before. And I loved Australia. But we only ever went out there for a week at a time. And so the chances to see anything... really, were quite few, because I did little recordings to play into the show. I did get to the chance to go out into Sydney a bit and, you know, go round Perth and do some things that the others didn't do. But a week is no time to see Australia. And I had such a wonderful experience and loved the people so much and felt so comfortable and at home in Australia that I longed to return and have always longed to return. So hopefully, before I'm not here anymore... I'll be able to go back, take that long flight and maybe do both WA and do Sydney again. That I'd like to do. I'd also like to see, we once flew home via the Northern Territories, which is quite tropical. And we had to take 2 planes, 3 planes actually. 1 plane up to Cairns from Sydney, and then from Cairns we flew to Hong Kong, and then we went from Hong Kong to London. So that was actually, how many planes is that? Anyway, you count the planes. That was quite an experience, though. And I remember we only had a couple of hours in Cairns, but it was so tropical. Sorry, I'm just talking on now, aren't I? Thank you to Adam, my webmaster, for his hard work. Thank you to Hayley for booking the guests, including the guest on this edition of The Unexplained, Anne Jersch, London-born professional psychic, big celebrity client base, heads of industry, politicians, celebs, people from films, music, sport, best-selling author... of books including Instant Intuition, The Future Is Yours, Cosmic Energy, and Create Your Perfect Future. I think I need that one. She's been on many radio shows, a lot of TV, and what we're going to talk about for a lot of this conversation, I suspect, is future life progression, which she's been doing for more than 20 years. So Anne Jersch, the guest on this edition of The Unexplained. Do not forget, if you get in touch with me, and I love to get your emails. They absolutely, in my isolation, keep me going here. So if you want to get in touch with me, go to the website, theunexplained.tv, follow the link, and then you can send me an email from there with a guest suggestion, thoughts on the show. Just tell me that you're there. Tell me a little bit about your life. It's always good to know about what's going on with you, really, in whatever part of the world you're in. So tell me who you are, where you are, and how you use this show. All right, let's get to Anne Jersch now. We'll be talking about future life progression and many other things. Anne Jersch, thank you very much for coming on my show. How are you?
I'm really well, actually. Yeah, no, I'm buzzing. I feel really good, and it's great to be on your show.
Well, no, it's nice to have you here. I mean, I have to say, out of a certain amount of embarrassment here, Anne, you are one of those guests who I can't remember how I came to get Hayley to book them. I'm sure somebody suggested you, but it turns out researching you, you know a ton of people in who, what we used to call showbiz, who I know. We've got friends in common like Paul McKenna, haven't we?
Yeah, but lots of people. Yeah, absolutely. And it is mixing in those circles, isn't it? And it's just because a lot of my work is as an intuitive. And you find once you've seen one person and they find out that you're not running off to the newspapers or whatever, like you are, you know, there's no leaks, because you find people blab, don't they? So people in showbiz will come to somebody like me because their secret is safe with me. So you get known in those circles.
Okay, well, I mean, look, you know, I'm a journalist now. What have you gone and said to a journalist?
And I've told you any secrets.
notable, I mentioned in the introduction to this, that you have a whole raft of, like, celebrity clients and people who are famous in business and industry. A lot of the great and the good, they come to you. And you know, I suppose that prompts the question, why? Why do those people come to you? If they're successful people, why do they need any kind of service that you could offer?
That's interesting. Well, my main work, I mean, I work as an intuitive, so they'll come to me to get insight into things. But I do something called future life regression, where I actually, it's the flip side of regression. I take people into the future. Mm. And I find people at the top are more open. And it's actually proven, there's been some massive studies that have found people at the top use their intuition more than people lower down. And I find that they'll say, I'll give that a go. They're not just going to believe everything you say, but they'll try you out. And if you can say things that are helpful, then they'll come back, and they tend to come back. And we're in a time, you know, you go back sort of 50 years, what you did, you probably did most of your life. Now you've got to keep reinventing yourself. What's successful one year might not be successful the next. So people kind of need a bit of insight. And I find successful people are always looking for something that might give them the edge.
Well, no. Now, that I didn't think we'd get into all of this so quickly. Let's just park that for a second, because we've got to do just a couple of little establishing things here.
Yeah.
Talk to me about you then. Your biography that I've got here that I read in the introduction is that you're a London-born professional psychic with a large worldwide following. That's the first line. Talk to me about what brought you to where you are now.
Jumping into the future. To be honest, most of my life, I'm a typical West London girl that ended up in Slough. My dad thought he was moving out to the countryside, so he got a bit of a shock there. He really did, yeah. And so I ended up in Slough, and I just had a little office on the trading estate for many years. And I just had my clients, I'd do them tarot readings, I learned hypnotherapy, and I'd take them into past lives. And that was me until I started working with, and I didn't look for this. One day we were trying to look at the past, and I was working with some military people trying to see something in the past, kind of an experiment. We all jumped forward. And the timing of this is quite interesting, because we glimpsed the attack on the Twin Towers. And it was the most, at the time, we didn't understand what we were seeing, because it was an unprecedented event. So we just thought we'd had a bad day, didn't see what we'd set out to see. Of course, when it happened, we realised we had glimpsed the future. So we started to experiment and look at more things in the future. We started to go, let's see if we can see what other... And my life just took off from there. I went from Slough to global in a short space of time. And it just changed everything.
These military people that you were working with, were they researching you like they do with psychics in America, or were they just people who'd come to see you for fun?
But they were quite intrigued by past life regression, so I was taking them into past lives, which were quite fascinating. They were, one would come in, then another, and they'd find that they had multiple lives knowing each other. So they would come up with the same information without collaborating, and they were just intrigued. You'd be amazed. I've never met a military person or a police person yet that doesn't say, I knew something was going to happen that day. Their senses are heightened. I think they got more of what we call the primitive sense, that natural sense.
Absolutely. My dad was a copper in Liverpool, right, all his life, you know, 30 years in the police, and I could be driving with him and he would point at a car and he'd say, that guy there's something wrong about that car. And he'd be dead right. He would, yeah. He had you know, if I've got any psychic sense, and I think I've got a bit of it, not much of it, it came from him and his dad. You know, his dad wasn't a police officer, but his dad had this psychic thing. I've said before on this show, my dad's dad used to read the teacups in Liverpool.
My nan used to do that, yeah.
So, you know, it is something that's, I think, all around us. But even if some of us have this to an extent, like an intuition, you know, we don't have it to the extent that people like you have it.
Yeah, but I do it all day. If you did it all day, you'd get better. I don't think, when people talk about a gift, I don't think it's a gift. I think we're all intuitive. We just don't develop it. I've actually analysed intuition and how people have their own process and how to analyse the process so you can enhance it. Because each process is different. You might have a thought in your head, I might get like a squidgy feeling in my stomach. We're all different, but everybody's intuitive. But I think where where we go wrong is it's subtle. People expect to slap their hand to their forehead and go, I can see something, but it's not. It's a niggle. It's usually more subtle. My biggest thing that I listen to is when I'm hesitating. It's when I go, I keep hesitating about going somewhere or doing something. That is usually a big sign.
Okay, so how do you turn having an instinct for a thing and possibly having a more reliable instinct than the rest of us who haven't used it as much, how do you turn that into something that, as you said, takes you from slough to global?
Right. Well, that it was the future life progression. And that is an actual process that took me to global. I started to take people into the future and what they saw happened. I'd just take them into like a meditation, guided visualization. And what it was consistent. It wasn't the odd fluke. I carried on working with the military guys. And that was quite extraordinary because they predicted world events one after the other after the other. So we started to document it, experimented on clients, which was very kind of them. And they were consistently saying, but what really got me, Howard, was they were, things they saw at 5 years started to happen much sooner. That got me because we often take a long time to get to where we want to be. And this was like the future. It's like we're bringing the future back into our current consciousness. We weren't wasting time on things that didn't matter or going to be dead ends. We kind of, once we had that focus on the future, we knew our path and we worked our path. So I'm not very patient. I should be. Spiritual people are supposed to be patient, but I'm not. And so to go to the best of the future and make it happen sooner, that really appealed to me. But everything took off really quickly. I've got a really big book deal. The books went out worldwide, and that's how I went worldwide. The books came out in lots of languages and went to number one in various countries, and that was it. Everything went from the little office in Slough to boom, very quickly. It was great fun.
So these military people, I'm sorry to take you back to them.
No,
were they people who came to you as clients who were looking to investigate this stuff, but they seemed to become a kind of research team with you?
Yes, absolutely. They're still around me 20 years later, and so they bring their children up to see me. It's amazing. We're actually going to look at the next phase. I mean, there's one particular that I work with, and we're going to look at the next phase because after the attack on the Twin Towers, one of the things I asked him was, will they ever find Bin Laden? And he came back with, they're not even looking. They're not looking. They are getting ready to invade Iraq. And I said, who? And he said, America. And he said, this doesn't sound so extraordinary now, but at the time it was mind-blowing. We actually laughed. It sounded so ludicrous. He said, America is going to say they have chemical weapons, but they know they don't. That was his words.
Oh, this was one of the military people that you started working with.
Yeah.
And they started to do this meditation that allowed them to key into the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
And how long before we actually did go to war?
I can't remember now. I mean, we did this a few months after the attack on the Twin Towers. This was literally within 6 months. So it wasn't long. I can't remember.
So it could have been 6 months before, could have been a year before.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And when you, just to wind you back to the Twin Towers thing, because of course we've just been commemorating 20 years since that terrible event.
Yeah.
What exactly did you see? Obviously, you wouldn't have understood it.
No,
but what did you see and how did you see it?
Right, we were trying to see something from the past. So the first one to speak was Steve, and he said, oh, I haven't gone back to the past. I don't know why I'm seeing this, but I'm looking at two skyscrapers next to each other, smoke pouring out of them. There's people on the ground running. There's dust everywhere. There's a helicopter going around in a circle. It says CNN. This is obviously America. Dave said, I haven't gone back either, and I don't know why. I'm in America, I'm looking at a bay, and it's as if the skyline has changed. Then he said, how can a skyline change? And I just said, I'm just seeing this pipeline in the Middle East, and I don't know, I'm not seeing anything like you two. I'm just seeing Middle Eastern oil and pipeline. So we gave up. We just thought we'd had a rubbish session, to be honest. We went off up the pub. And just went and had a drink. We just went, well, that was a waste of time. And obviously 3 weeks later, they called me at the office and said, put the news on. And we were really, really upset, really, because we didn't know enough to stop it. It's like Mark Twain said, what's the point of seeing a little bird fall? You know, what is the point? You know, what is the point of seeing it if you can't do anything about it?
But if you see twin buildings, I suppose if you're doing the research seriously, you might have researched and, you know, tried to work out where are there two buildings of a similar size and stature together
America,
and that sort of thing.
Yeah, we would now, but at the time we just thought it was all a bit nonsense.
Because you were only playing with it then.
We were expecting to see the past. We just thought we'd had a vivid imagination. Because nothing like it had happened before, we couldn't kind of process it. Yeah, but I suppose it was a bit of naivety. But now we would definitely be on it now. We definitely would be.
Talk to me about the process then. I'm fascinated by this. You know, I am one of these people, unfortunately. A few people in my lifetime have tried to hypnotize me, you know, put me under the fluence and all the rest of it. And I am not suggestible. I'm always high on black coffee. So it's very hard to get me into that state where I zone into things.
I've been hypnotized by three best in the world and I still have one eye open. I'm peeping. Oh. I'm not a relaxed person. So,
But it starts with hypnosis, does it?
It is. Think of it as, I don't want people to be too relaxed, so I'm not looking to take somebody into some deep trance, but it's just taking people into a relaxed state. Now, when you're watching a movie, you go into a relaxed state. When you're driving, you zone out without realising it, and you think, how did I get home? I don't remember driving home. So everyone goes into some sort of a zone or relaxed state or altered state at times. Everybody does it. The process is simply take people for a nice relaxation. And then I've got various techniques. It might be floating on a cloud into the future, walking through a door, space rocket. There's all sorts. I've got loads of techniques. But it's something to give you the feeling of passing through time. And it's been remarkable, you know, like three times I've moved into houses that I'd seen. I had no idea where they were. It's just, it's really hard to get your head around that you do see the future. You absolutely do see it.
I have no doubt that the future is there to be seen. You know, it already exists, which is a mind-blowing thought. But I think scientists are starting to come to those sorts of conclusions. But I can remember, I used to meet all kinds of people when I worked, and I know that you know Capital Radio very well and the people who work there. I used to go on these outside broadcasts around the world, and I can remember once meeting a woman, and she was very keen to get married. She was of the age where she was feeling she was going to be left on the shelf. And I told her, you know, we were just sitting and talking. I said, no, it's going to be all right. You'll end up married and living in a house, and I described the door, the front door of this house, that was very particular, very strange thing. I had no idea where this was coming from, but I could see a picture of this door. I don't think I've ever told this story before on any of these shows. I could see a picture of the front door of this place. About a year later, this woman emails to say, just to tell you, you know, as if it was just a matter-of-fact thing, just to tell you, those things that you said all happened, and I now live in a house that has that door. Now, maybe she went looking for a house that had a weird, very unique front door like that. Or maybe I saw the future. And if I did, how can that be?
Well, this is the thing. We don't understand time. We don't understand time. I think from birth, we're taught the past is behind us, we're now, the future hasn't happened yet, therefore you can't see it. And it's hard to get your mind. I struggled with that for a long time. How can you glimpse the future? But there's a huge amount of evidence that people do see the future. One of the amazing studies, and it's quite an old study, they studied train crashes. And they found that 25% less people that usually were on that train wouldn't be on the train that crashes. And they took into account people having a job to get to the station, with the weather bad, was it holiday time? Taking into account all the variables, 25, that's a lot of people. And I've actually seen people on their way to something stop and go, do you know what? I think I'll go later. And they miss the actual thing that had the accident. I've actually sit and watch people do that. And at the time, they don't say, oh, I think there's going to be something terrible. They just say, I'm not going. and they don't actually know why, but you can see them looking a bit confused. So I think there's part of us. Look, the remote viewers, you know about remote viewing. The remote viewers look into the future. The main remote viewers have all said it's just as easy to glimpse the future as it is the past or the somewhere else in our current time.
Does that mean that, like I said, the future is already there? On one plane, it's already happened, and the past is already there. And here we are stuck in the middle of those things. And you can access these things like you can access tracks on a CD.
Yeah, absolutely. But one of the things I do is I take people into the future, get a glimpse of how it is, and then I take them to their best possible future. And that's when it gets interesting.
Ah, so there are alternatives.
There is alternatives, yeah.
How does that work?
I wish I knew. I mean, listen, I've got a list of quotes somewhere of the world's greatest quantum physicists over the last 100 years, and they all basically said, if you think you understand it, you don't. I wish I'd never bothered looking into it. Their quotes are hilarious. So nobody really understands. People think they do, but we don't understand. There's string theory, there's this theory, there's that theory. Truth of it is nobody really knows. So all I can go by is our results, and our results have been consistently accurate. And that's the best thing to look at. So for me, one of the things, I'm a big expo in a few days, we're going to look at the best future for the world rather than everybody doom and gloom and, oh, isn't it terrible? And, you know, global warming and this and that. Let's go and find a better future.
So, look at the moment, and we don't want to trivialize it in any way, but the world is staring down the barrel, we are told, of ecological crisis. And if the ecology doesn't get you, if the climate doesn't get you, then the disease is going to get you. You know, and if those two don't get you, then the politicians that we've got are going to make sure that the world comes to a crumbling halt at some point. And there are those of us who think, well, there has to be a better way. So what you're saying is that there is a better alternative future out there. What's the point of seeing it, though, if we're not going there? If you see what I'm saying, can we make ourselves go to the better one?
In my books, I've put how the world will be in 50 and 100 years' time. Look, the world has got. Some people believe that the world is a living essence in itself, and it seems to self-regulate. If we mess it up too much, it will get rid of us. We'll be gone. Boof, let's get rid of you or some of you. Now, you think just as we started to ridiculously cut down trees, we get the internet. How many letters have you posted recently as opposed to 20 years ago? So maybe we come up with solutions or they appear in the nick of time. And one of the things I found looking in the future is there's a lot of machinery and devices that will actually clean the oceans, clean the sky. We will have clean energy, and that will change everything. And look, you've seen during these lockdowns how all of a sudden rivers have become much cleaner, the sky's cleaner. Imagine if we just had clean energy. Imagine if we did. The world, maybe it'll start to regenerate, become cleaner.
Well, I see at the moment, I don't know whether this would be part of it, but in the news at the moment, scientists seem to be making great strides towards the holy grail of fusion power. You know, that's like continuous power that's cheap and easy and always there. And there are various other technologies. So, I tend to think there are a lot of doom and gloom merchants out there. I tend to think that the human race will probably muddle through. I mean, I wouldn't go to a betting shop and put money on that right now. But my gut tells me that we probably will find a way. And all of these things that we're saying are going to be terminal and cause all kinds of problems are probably not. Now, if I could believe those kinds of things for my own life, just imagine what I would be achieving. I can believe them for the world. So on a micro level, then, when individuals come to you, I mean, look, if I was to come to you, because I've worked in the media all of my life, I've loved this broadcasting thing. I've lived my life in front of a microphone. I've never had a proper job. I don't know what it's like to work at a job that does not involve writing and speaking and interviewing and stuff like that. It's just all I know. But it is massively, massively uncertain. And, sometimes I've thought it's been guided, because I've had an instinct about things, and sometimes I think I've been helped along the way, and sometimes there have been absolute disasters that have erupted around me.
Yeah.
And at the moment, like a zillion people who will be coming to you, the future to me is a totally unknown country. If I think about it, I get really scared because I've got no idea where it's going to go. Are you saying that by using future life progression, FLP, that I could actually take a look at alternatives for what my future, if it's me or whoever comes to you, might be?
Absolutely. I'm happy to do you a session. So drop me a message. I'll happily do your session. You will love it. Or if any of your listeners want, I've actually got a recording they can sit back and listen to.
Okay. Well, listen, you're on about that one. And would you mind if I reported back to my listener if we did that?
Oh, please. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Okay. So let's take me then on this occasion out of the equation and just slot in your mind's eye, visualize somebody who's come to you and is a typical case. What happens? How does it work?
Well, I start off by saying, what do you want to gain from the session? And I listen to them and they might say, look, I don't know where, a bit like you've just said, work, you know, nobody's got a job for life anymore, being self-employed. So that work comes into it. They might want to know if they're going to meet somebody. A lot of people struggle to meet a partner these days. It seems to be harder for people these days. They might want to know where they're living or how can their business succeed, new trends in their industry. So I just sit and listen and find out what they need to know. Then I tailor make a session around what they want. And sometimes they just want to get a glimpse of a few years' time, you know, just whatever it is. I will guide them through it and I will prompt them. So I'll take them into relaxation, I'll take them forward in time and just sometimes I see things and I won't tell them during the session. I'll tell them afterwards if I pick up. But we'll go and they'll describe where they're living, maybe who they're living with, what's happening with your work, and, you know, what do we should have done differently is always a really good question. Get some hindsight from your future self.
Okay, right. But, I mean, isn't the problem, though, and this is the problem with psychics, the people go to psychics, and, you know, I used to psychic shop when I was younger, and I would go and see all sorts of people. If I didn't like what one said, I'd go to another one. And, you know, the moment I stopped doing that, my life improved. Oddly enough, it was as if something up there was waiting for me to just stop doing that. And then I got the breakthrough that I was looking for. The problem is that when people go to see psychics, and I'm not saying that this is you, they want to hear good news. They want to hear that they're going to find the man or woman of their dreams. They want to know that they're going to get the dream job or things are going to be fab for them. Life is not like that, though, is it?
No, it isn't. That's why, you know, if you and I'm very straightforward. I'm you know, it's all right. If you're on a beach somewhere and you've got different holiday makers every week, you can use a lot of BS and just tell them it'll all be wonderful. People know who I am and where I am. They can come back. So, or they can call me up and say that was nonsense. So I have to be honest with people. But the way I do a reading is if it's not what they like, you get a bit of hindsight. So it might be, look, I don't think this relationship is the one for you, but I can see somebody afterward. There's always something beyond that. You know, it looks like your job, you know, you know that might not work out. You start looking now, what else you could be doing? You know, you can, there's always something beyond that. So you don't just give people bad news. You try and give it something that's helpful.
And presumably you also advise them, which I think would be common sense, wouldn't it? You know, please don't live your life by this. Continue your day-to-day routine anyway.
Do you know, most people don't. There was one girl, and I'm going back probably 25 years, the only one that's come to mind, and she was seeing several people a week. And I used to sit her down and go, stop, I'm not doing your reading. You've got to stop doing all that. And she was living by it to the point that one of them said, you're going to go on holiday with this very good-looking Italian guy. She went round her company looking and found somebody that fitted that profile and said, right, we're going on holiday together. Oh. The guy was horrified and kept hiding from her.
That's surprised.
And she used to get angry. You do get people get angry if you're honest. But, you know, you know, that's it. I don't mind if I'm not popular. I will say what comes to me. But I see it as a guidance, you know. For her, I really tried to get her to stop seeing so many people, and she carried on.
Can I just interrupt there, just out of sheer curiosity and nosiness, really? You said that she was seeing a lot of people. Did you know that without her telling you?
Well, yeah, I actually said to her, how many readings do you have? Because I tell you what, because she kept phoning me up, wanting a reading every week. And I went, why would you want a reading? It's not going to be any different from a week ago. And I just had this feeling. So I said to her, how many readings do you have? And she went, oh, not many. And the astrologer doesn't count. It's something. And I went, how many readings do you have in? And she said, about 3 a week.
Oh, God.
I know. But that's 25 years ago. I mean, I find most people will pop up when they've got a dilemma. They might pop up every few weeks. I do talk to people in the showbiz people more often, but they've got a lot going on. You know, we monitor them. Say if they've got different shows they're writing, this and that. I kind of oversee things with them. So I'm actually part of their business, if that makes sense.
Oh, all right. I mean, you said they're part of their business in some cases, and they presumably make crucial decisions then based on what you're doing. Yeah, presumably you cannot tell me names, but can you give me an idea of the sort of people?
One thing I can tell you is I had credit on a movie as an intuitive.
What was the film?
It was called Together, and that was Sylvia Sims and the amazing Peter Bowles, and they were adorable.
Two great British actors there.
Oh, they were, honestly, they're in their 80s and they were amazing. Oh. And so gentlemanly and so well-mannered. I mean, oh, they're bliss.
So did they consult you, Anne?
No. Somebody said to Peter Bowles, would you like a reading with Anne? And he just went, no, thank you very much.
And that was it. So he turned you down then?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd never push it on anybody. It was all the young crew.
What about the ones, though, the showbiz people who come to you? Now, I know it's difficult because, you know, most people who do the stuff that you do or stuff like it, they can't name names. But I'm just wanting to get a handle on. So if you can think of, you know, one or two rough stories of people who've come to you that won't identify them, just to give me a handle on the sorts of things you're dealing with showbiz people, because there's no doubt about it. A lot of the showbiz thing, and I'm kind of partly involved in showbiz, although I like to crack on, you know, when people say, oh, you're in entertainment, I say, excuse me, I'm a journalist. I always like to fall back on that one. But, you know, part of it is showbiz. Of course it is. It's all very uncertain. Isn't it? That's the thing. It's uncertainty. You don't know whether a thing is going to. You can be doing something that you think is absolutely great, and it can turn out to be a turkey.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And you're as good as your last work, and it can all go horribly wrong. Okay. At the beginning, January before last, I caught up with a pop star. He's quite a good friend anyway. And he was about to go into theatre, and I said, it's not going to happen. It's going to get postponed for months. He said, how can it? And I went, I don't know. Something weird's happening because I keep seeing things postponed with clients. So we didn't know it was a pandemic, but we knew something was coming up. And he said, well, you're always right with me, but I don't see how the theatre would get postponed for months. And I went, yeah, it will. It will. Of course, the pandemic started and all the theatres closed. I work for quite a lot of people who make TV shows and movies. And what we do is they might call me up and go, look, you know, I'm struggling to find the right producer. Or I'm thinking of this person. And I pull out cards and go, oh, yeah, they look good. Or no, there's somebody better. Even down to the music. I've even chose the music on one movie, which I won't name because they've not spoke about me. But yeah, they're checking out actors. We literally go through things point by point, and I'm pulling out cards, which some people find. I was with one movie director, and we're sitting there pulling out cards, and the big shots from the studio popped into his house, and he just said, it's all right, the movie's going to do great. And just said so, and he pointed to the tarot cards and their faces. They just looked horrified. These are the money men and the studio men. They didn't look very happy. They looked horrified.
Well, they didn't want to think that their investment depended on your say-so.
Yeah.
Like, I suppose they would say that, wouldn't they? Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got a kind of bit of a reputation for yourself in the entertainment field, and people just kind of turn up and they say, can you do us a favour? You know, please don't mention this to anybody, but not that you would. I'm involved in this project. How's it going to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't tell me not to say anything because they know I won't. I mean, it's just, that is it. You know, that I'm just completely, yeah. Even if somebody falls out with me, I will never talk about their stuff, no matter what it is. It's just, that's it. I don't tell anyone anything.
Future life progression, then, how far forward can you go with your average person?
Most people I look 5 years, and that's a good time frame, because if somebody says look a year, sometimes you have a year where not a lot changes, then they're disappointed. 5 years is a good one. You can always look back down the timeline to see where they are 5 years. Has it turned out the way they want? You know, has anything unexpected happened? But the crucial thing is to think. I did a session with a guy. He's a really good businessman. And I did him a session many years ago the other day, and he just said, I'd forgotten how good this was. But he just saw his path so much stronger. And he said, I realised I'd got into a rut, and I'm just seeing my future work so much more strongly now. He said, I feel fired up. So we all need a bit of direction now and again.
So the future, though, just to take you back to a point that we got into before, the future's malleable. You can change it.
Yeah.
Okay, and so how does it work that you can see a version? So what you're seeing is one of a number of versions of it.
Yeah.
Are you seeing the most likely outcome?
You start off by looking at your most likely. This is you on your present path. Where are you, what you're doing, where you're living, who's in your life, what you're happy about, anything you're not happy about, what could you have changed? And then I might take them to several futures where they made changes. It depends, but I want to look at them at the most fulfilled, most successful future. Where are you? What are you doing? I shall have to do your session, Howard.
Well, no, you know, now you've got me fascinated. And even though I stopped psychic shopping years ago, I mean, this is one thing I would like to try for a whole welter of personal reasons. But that's a whole other story. You worked on the Slough Trading Estate.
I did.
At the beginning of all of this. Well, you know, of course, what they used to make on the Slough Trading Estate, don't you?
Lots of things.
Thunderbirds.
My mum used to do the cleaning for the first Sylvia.
For Jerry Anderson.
Anderson. My mum used to be their cleaner. How fun is that? they were actually living, my office now in Bray, their house was just a little bit further down the lane in Bray.
Now, we have to say that for those of us, for those of my listeners who don't know Berkshire, I was lucky enough to work there for cumulatively 7 years of my career. So I know Berkshire inside and outside. You know, Bray is where a lot of stars live. I mean, if you want to go back in the past, I think didn't Eric Morecambe live in Bray?
I don't know. Anyway, Michael Parkinson's there.
Parky's been there for years and years and years.
Yeah, he had. There is Sheila Ferguson. There's a few. I never see them.
Oh, Sheila Ferguson from the Three Degrees, yes. Yeah. But you're steeped in showbiz. That's the thing. Being in Bray, yeah. You have to be.
I see a lot of regular people. I work a lot for businesses. You know, it's just a wide range of people. I can just as easily have a single mum from Slough pop over. So, you know, there's a whole range of people. I deal with.
Do you ever connect with things that are beyond what we can see? You know, I've interviewed in my life, and I'm not necessarily saying that this is what you're about, but I've interviewed an awful lot of people who say that sometimes we do these sessions and we go to the next phase, we go forward 5 years, whatever, but somehow we got sidetracked and we were witnessing entities that we can't explain.
I keep away from entities.
Do such things. So obviously, you think such things exist.
Oh yeah, I don't go into any murky shades of grey. I have gone 1,000 years into the future, which is very interesting because
we don't show.
That was weird because it's as if we're not fully as we are now. It's like we're more energy beings. That was strange. I sometimes, because people talk about angels a lot now, I sometimes wonder if when people are seeing angels, they're actually seeing their future self, because I've taken big groups of people forward and they all describe their future self as very much how you'd describe an angel. No big wings or anything, but quite translucent and more energy beings.
Now, not for the first time in my career, I've missed a very big point here. If you're taking people that far forward, doesn't that automatically say that reincarnation exists?
Yeah, I'd thought so.
Because if you as you can exist 1,000 years from now,
yeah,
in my case, 50 years from now, you know, if you as you can exist, then that must mean you've transitioned into something else.
You'd think so, yeah, does tend to point to that. But I've worked a lot with past lives, and I tend to think that we do have multiple lives. It seems to make sense of things.
Talk to me about past lives then. You know, some cases that you've talked about. Anybody famous you've uncovered?
the vast majority of people have Derpo in a past life. The actual figures, it's very rare. People always say, oh, they think they're Cleopatra in a past life. That is so rare for anybody. Most people are, you know, just in a jungle or in the desert or just somewhere trying to put food on the table, try and come across food, survive in war zones. It's not usually anything too luxurious, because 95% of the world, apparently the figures are 95%, were struggling.
When you go back, are you able to visualise the moment of death?
I don't really take people to that. I don't see the point. I go, take them back. Maybe there's skills there that they want to bring back into this lifetime. There might be something in past life that holds them back now. We'll clear that. I'm quite interested in your soul group. Who do you know now that you've known in a past life? What happened? What was the dynamics?
Do you think that people, I'm frequently, especially in this crazy business that I've been working in all these years, I forever come across people who seem to fit into a type. Even sometimes they look the same. And it's like, I've worked with you before. It's a weird kind of feeling.
You do have that thing where you think, I've known you before. Happens with soulmates. It's really quite extraordinary. You like recognise the person even though you haven't met them before.
Does it work the other way? You know, I've also in my, and all I know is my working, you know, life in this particular career. Sometimes for no obvious reason, you can really not get on with somebody. They can be absolute poison to you. And yet you cannot work out any rational reason why you don't like them.
I think that can easily come from a past life, or that could be intuition that they're not what they seem to be.
Okay. So this is a whole big thing that you do. I mean, it's a pretty important thing for those people who consult you. And when you, let's go back, I'm fascinated by the showbiz people, okay? Have you had any movie stars?
Yeah, I have.
I mean, like, you know.
Everyone has the same problems.
Big household names.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. I've got to stay in LA with big names. It's amazing.
Is it difficult to do this for them? Because you will already know a lot of things about them because of the life being public.
Listen, half the time I don't know who they are. I'm not very. Honestly, I've had huge names come and people afterwards said, "Do you know who that is?" And I've just gone, "Oh goodness!" And I have to think. I hope I didn't say the wrong thing. Thing is, no, they always have other stuff going on that I don't know about. You know, you can have one particular, like one of the biggest stars in the world in music. And she was married at the time. And I just said, I've got a horrible, horrible feeling in my stomach about a marriage. And but the newspapers were full of how happy they are, how perfect they are together. Oh, my God, look at them. You know, that them giving quotes saying, yes, I've met the perfect person for me. You know, well, that when I did the reading, my stomach was lurching. You know, it just felt traumatic. So they split up a little while later.
Boy, well, I mean, that's a hit for you, but bad news for them.
Yeah, but she's that big. She moved on.
What about you then? You know, there's an old biblical quote saying, physician, heal thyself. The psychics that I've interviewed over the years cannot read for themselves. I can often give people great advice. People tell me, Howard, you give such great advice. I think I do. I think I do give people sensible advice. But geez, yeah. I can't sort out my own life. So the point of that question is, can you do this stuff for yourself? Or do you have to go to somebody else to do it for you? Or don't you want to know?
Most of the time, because I use the future life progression, I go forward and glimpse my own future. Or I've taught people, I've got practitioners in future life progression. So I get one of them to take me forward. So I often catch a glimpse of, say, the next book I'm going to write. Or I use it often to see where I'm going to be working, what countries I'm going to be working in. So most of the time I get an instinct. Most of the time I can kind of, you know, because I do this all day, I'm often quite instinctive about what's coming up.
Okay. And, you know, how can you divorce your desires for what you'd like to happen and what you'd like to do from the stuff that you will go forward and see? You know, surely your own psyche will affect the vision of the future that you get, won't it? Because it's about you.
That's why we know it's real, because what we're thinking we want and what we see is something completely different. It's often completely different. So, or it's not what we're expecting, or there's some detail there we wouldn't have been able to fill in. You know, I remember one guy took him forward and he saw himself walking into this huge building. It was obviously a company. It had a big figure eight outside. He had no idea what that was. But when he got an interview with a company, and outside was this statue that was in a big figure eight. You know, he couldn't have made that up or made it wishful thinking, because he didn't know the company, he'd never seen it.
Do you think that there are guardian angels, is that the right phrase to use? Are there spirits or beings or entities or something that have our best interests at heart and are reaching out to us all the time to try and put us on the straight and narrow? I've always kind of hoped that that's the case.
I think our future self looks after us. I think our future selves reach back to guide us. I don't know about other things, because I think a lot of it is... No, I think it's our future selves. I think people think it's angels and various other things. They could be. I'm not massively spiritual, funny enough. In fact, over the years, I've become less spiritual, because I'm finding it too woo-woo. Once they start talking about unicorns, I kind of step back quite a lot. I find it a bit too woo-woo these days. But the future, I think our future selves are trying to guide us. I think they're trying to guide us now so things are better for them in the future.
But that would suggest, well, it does, but that would suggest that the outcome of everything is good. And we know from some people's lives, things aren't good. They have accidents, or their lives just don't work out, or they end up on their own, and it's all horrible for them. So if their future self is guiding them to something better, it doesn't always work, does it?
It can do. It's worked out for me.
Okay. Well, what about those people?
Well, enough for my clients. I mean,
okay, but what about those people who have lives that don't work out? What's gone wrong for them?
Well, they should have come to see me, shouldn't they?
Oh. Do you know what? I've been interviewing for decades. I have no answer to that whatsoever. Can I put that one in my book? That's absolutely excellent. Thank you for that.
Well, it's true. You know, look, people get stuck in ruts. People don't believe in themselves, and they keep repeating the same patterns. If you go and see somebody, even if you go and see somebody that's brilliant with NLP, your patterns will change. You'll attract different things.
Yeah, I don't know about this neuro-linguistic philosophy. I've known a few people who do NLP as a practitioner. Some people in my own industry have gone in for it. Yeah. I've never been entirely convinced.
I had somebody work on me and they changed something dramatic. I've actually found it to be really effective. If you've got somebody that's lacking confidence, they'll clear that. It's in the programming. All they do is change you in a programming. So people try and do everything from their head. You live in your head, Howard. You think a lot.
I do.
So, What they'll do is, but it won't change in the programming. The rest of your body's not listening to your head. So what they'll do is they'll go, okay, that lack of self-confidence, where'd you feel it? And people will go, well, it's in my chest and it's a heavy fit. And they'll go, right, let's spin it, let's turn it around, let's put it somewhere else. All of a sudden, remember a time you felt incredible? That one time you did feel confident. They go, oh, when I was 11, I passed my cycling proficiency. They go, right, remember that? How did it feel? They flip it. And all of a sudden, the person sits up straight in their eyes. You can see they're looking more confident. So it's working with the inner processes. And I found it myself. I found it to be effective. I found it to be very effective.
Okay, this is NLP, neuro-linguistic programming.
Yeah.
About the terminology that you use, the way that you think about yourself.
Well, the thing is, you've got inner processes you don't know because they're unconscious. So in a head, where it's like I had some really bad stage fright, and in my head I began, calm down, you can do this, you're fine. But my body's still shaking, my stomach's still clenching, my body's not listening. But this girl got rid of it in 4 minutes. That's how effective it is.
Sometimes I think, you know, and this is diverging a bit from our conversation, there's just one thing that you have to realise that fixes something like that. I mean, this is a crazy thing for a guy who used to go on television programs that had 10, 11, 13 million people watching them and do live voiceovers on those programs. And I would do that without feeling nerves. But there was a time when I was full of nerves for every damn thing that I did.
Yeah.
And part of it was watching. I worked with Chris Tarrant, so I used to watch him go and do big things. And I used to watch the way that he handled them. I just changed my mindset about that. And that was a very quick process. I remember it almost happened in the space of going to one of those party in the park events at Hyde Park, where I had to go on stage in front of 100,000 people. Wow. The first time I did it, I was nearly sick with nerves.
Yeah.
I changed my mindset. I thought, hang on, this is ridiculous. All 100,000 people who are there listen to the radio station. They know you already. They are already your friends. So just, although there is a sea of heads there, look at them as if you know them. And the second that I decide, I don't know why I'm telling this story, because it's got nothing to do with what we were talking about before, but the moment I made that decision, it was like one of those big switches you see in power stations. You know, it got clunk down. I went onto the stage that day absolutely nerveless.
That's brilliant if you
can
do it.
Just by accepting that one thing.
Sometimes people can just do it, their mindset. But if they can't, I would always say to them, go and see somebody that does NLP. I found it to be immensely effective.
God, I'm going to write that down as well. What are you working on then as we look forward into, I mean, look, most of us have written off the rest of 2021 now as being another year where nothing much happened. And hopefully 2022 is going to see for a lot of us different things dawn. What's your plan?
Well, my last book came out the first week of the first lockdown, and it kind of proved the point of the book. The book is, the world of work is going to keep changing, and you need to be adaptable and you need certain strategies. And I spent 5 years looking into what we need to thrive in the future. I'm teaching that a lot more now. So I teach a lot and I put on various trainings. So I'm going to be helping people tackle the future and find their absolute best future, use their intuition, be adaptable, keep life more simple. So that's what I'll be doing for the next year, teaching people to glimpse the future.
So the takeaway from this is, and it's something that I haven't really, I mean, you're quite right, I do think about a lot of things all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something that I'd never really considered, that there is a best future out there.
Mm-mm.
And you can orientate yourself towards it, crazy though that may sound.
Yeah.
It's there to be seen. It's already happened.
Yeah.
And you can take yourself there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, you absolutely can. I did it. I mean, I went from, as I say, slough to international in a short space of time. Massive free book deal, which you don't get if you're unknown from slough and you're uneducated. But I did. You know, just all of a sudden, that's when the phone started ringing. I'm invited to amazing events, amazing people calling me up. It all happened in quite a short space of time. It's almost like a different energy. And when you step into that other energy, or think of it as a different path, everything just took off. And I do that with my clients all the time. It's just, I just love the fact that their lives start to change so quickly.
It's a big revelation to know that there is something better.
Yeah.
You know, some people go through things thinking, well, you know, there's never going to be anything better. To know that there is something better and it's obtainable, I think is a pretty big revelation. And I really want to grab that and believe it. And thank you very much for telling me about that. I don't know whether I've done you justice in this conversation. And there will be listeners who will say, Howard went all round the house, is there? I just thought that you would be a guest it would be interesting just to have a conversation with. And I think that's absolutely right. Is there anything that I haven't talked about? See, I'm going to turn the tables on you now. Anything that I haven't talked about in this conversation that you would have liked to and I didn't?
Oh, Howard, I could keep you here for 3 hours.
Oh, geez.
All right. It just fine.
What about you? You did mention obliquely the tarot cards. You believe that they work?
Oh, they're amazing. I've used them for 45 years. I mean, they're mind-blowingly accurate. You'll have to get me back on the show, Howard, another time, and I'll tell you about intuition.
No, I'd like to do that. And I do strongly believe in intuition. And actually, I've seen some people really use the tarot cards to great effect.
Yeah.
One of my guests, just to tell you another story, one of my guests, an American, I can't remember her name now, but she has her own sort of semi-tarot system. Mm-hmm. And I kept those cards, and I never read. I never read anything. You know, when I buy things, typical man, I never read the instruction book. You know, and I never read the book that went with the cards. But I've kept the cards, and every time I'll pull one of the cards out, it'll say something that means something to where I am at the time. So I'll pull a card out. I've got them by my bedside, and it'll say fortitude. And it'll be a day when I need to be strong, or I'll pull out a card and it'll say deception. And it'll be on a day when I'm dealing maybe with somebody in a work context that I maybe don't entirely trust, I suppose is the word to use. So, maybe there is, I wonder what that's all about. Maybe you can tell me.
Well, get me back on again and I'll explain tarot and intuition.
And we'll have to do that session. And if you don't mind me reporting back on it to my listener.
Oh, absolutely.
Because my life is an open book, as my listener knows. And thank you so much. And give my love to Berkshire, will you?
I will. I certainly will, sir.
And what's your... If my listener wants to see your very well laid out website, what's your website?
My website, I've got futurevisiontraining.com. And I've got angersh.com.
That's the one I looked at.
Yeah, angersh.com, futurevisiontraining.com. And the book is Future Vision, Your Working Life.
Nice one. It's nice to talk to somebody who sounds so absolutely confident about themselves, which you do. And whatever it is that you've got, I need some of that. And Josh, thank you very much indeed.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And as ever, your thoughts welcome on Ann Gersh and our conversation, which was fairly wide-ranging, I think you'll find. More great guests in the pipeline here at the Home of the Unexplained. So until next we meet, my name is Howard Hughes. This has been the Home of the Unexplained Online. Please, whatever you do, stay safe, stay calm, and above all, please stay in touch. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.